Hello and welcome to the Loose Forward Podcast.
I'm Andy.
I'm Callum.
I'm Bobby.
And we're all about Rugby League.
The M62 and beyond. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Everybody well?
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Anything of note happened this week?
Nah.
Football's back.
Yay.
United won easy.
I hate it when football starts.
I know, so do I. And do you not think it like seems to start earlier every year?
Do you know what, though? I say I hate it when it starts. It doesn't matter. They don't stop talking about it.
No, it doesn't. No. When, as soon as that season stops, they're on about transfers and all sorts up to when it starts
talk
again.
Talk sport and all that. They don't talk about any other sport.
Talk nonsense, isn't it? I know. Anyway, football's back. And a dramatic weekend of rugby. Red card, a crucial red card for Owen Farrell.
I read before, I don't know how I saw it because I don't have anything to do with rugby union, but I read before that his ban's been overturned and everyone was going mad, going, who saw that coming? This is ridiculous, blah, blah. And I don't know.
Sounds like they got Mike Rush in to do the
He's been freelancing, hasn't he? Right, did you do this job as a foreigner?
Well, he might have another job to do, might he, this week. So we'll come on to that then, won't we?
Yeah.
What else have we got this week on after pretty much a historic weekend of rugby league?
Well, obviously, we'll talk about the big game. Saints and Huddersfield played on Sunday.
That was the big game.
Yeah. No, obviously, the Challenge Cup. And we're going to do a 1 to 13 of Challenge. Well, Wembley.
Wembley, yeah.
Wembley points.
Because it's not just that one game. So no. So 1 to 13 of Wembley, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I was going to say something, I forgot. But then we got the stats, the NRL, the Predictions League, and out because nobody sent us any confessions this week.
They didn't, did they?
No. There's got to be more. You know, we've had, what, six?
Yeah.
There's more than six rugby league confessions. You pull your finger out.
Yeah, come on, everybody. Get it sorted. It became my favourite segment of the pod. And actually made us international superstars.
That's true.
We featured on the NRL, whatever it was, podcast, didn't we?
Yeah, a Triple M one, Sunday Sin Bin or something.
That's right, yeah, with James Graham, who was the subject of one of our confessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gordon Tallis questioned us putting it in writing or something and went, oh, it's legal if they say illegal. Shut up, Gordon.
Yeah. Might have been hard. Not hard now, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, didn't get to...
And yes, I would say that to his face.
Yeah. Terry O'Connor didn't smack him hard enough, did he? Actually, I don't think he smacked him at all. But yeah, who are you, Gordon Tallis?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Never even heard of you.
Well, there we are. So it's great when we look down on other pods, other Australian pods and things, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, we'll jump in, yeah?
Yeah, let's jump in.
Okay.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans. And then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Yeah, as you've already said, we've got two games to cover this week, but we are going to start with our 1-13, and that was in relation to the Challenge Cup final, which dramatically did go down to Golden Point, and it was League 17, Hull KR 16.
Okay, well, I've got a 1-13 on this that you can talk about each point. Yeah, because there's a wider. There's wider issues with each of these points, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number one, I've just wrote Proud Dad.
Yeah, pretty special, wasn't it, really? It was like the stars aligned, sort of, wasn't it, for them? You know, his dad had done it at Wembley, and now for him to coach his son and him to hit the winning point was pretty special, wasn't it?
Yeah. You can get more joy out of that doing it yourself, or if your son does it.
Oh, yourself. Yeah. Yourself. Like, I'm still pretty early days in fatherhood, but, you know, if my daughter hit a winning drop goal at Wembley, I think deep down I'd be going, wish that was me. Yeah.
Well done and all that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well done.
I mean, it might be a bit different for him because he, you know, I mean, I don't think he's at a winning drop goal, has he? But he won a Challenge Cup, didn't he? So it was... maybe he's like, oh, yeah, welcome to the club. Maybe it was a bit different for him. But I think for everybody else, I think they'd be going, ass.
Yeah, but he must be so chuffed to see his son just make the winning drop go like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's all jokes aside, it is a pretty special moment for them, isn't it? And, you know, to be fair, not just in the... In one of the big games, you know, Lachlan Lamb's had a fantastic season with Lee.
Yeah.
He's really led from the front, so, brilliant moment, and, must have been special for them to share as a family.
And he's extended his contract as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, to, like, 2025 or 26, I think.
I think it was 2 years into it, so.
Yeah.
And obviously they've got a better chance of hanging on to him while his dad's the coach as well.
Yeah, but then I read, I think it was pretty lazy journalism, and I didn't really read the article, to be honest, but I read that there was maybe a couple of NRL clubs maybe looking at him.
Mm.
I read this afternoon.
It seems to me you get a winning drop goal and the NRL are after you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Not for the first time this season. Anyway, that brings us on to point two. John Asiata. I'm not saying the headlines again, but tackling technique under the microscope again.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was fairly obvious that when Paul Whelan's come out and made the comments that he made, he'd put a target on him, didn't he? He put him under that microscope. To be fair, in this one, I didn't actually think there was that much wrong with it. I thought he got him around the hip because the player had sort of jumped. I didn't think it was too bad, that one, but that was it then. Everyone was running in because everybody's looking at it, like you say. Mm. But my thing with that is nobody's... people have ran in and they've had a bit of squaring up, haven't they? Nobody's really pushed or... punched or anything. Why is that a penalty to Lee? Is that not easier to say, listen, there's nothing wrong with it, what you're doing, get back,
get on with it.
Leave it to me, play your ball?
Yeah.
Why is that a penalty?
I don't know, it seems a bit odd that Asiata makes the tackle that causes everybody to run in, and then Lee end up with 2 points out of it.
Yeah, it definitely does, but I suppose, I agree what Callum's saying, to be fair. I don't think it should be that penalty. I think the referee should have made him play the ball and just say, right, you knock it off now, and you knock it on the head. But at the same time, you know, running in on something that I suppose the RFL for this season at least have already said is legal, then, you know, you're asking for a bit of trouble, really, aren't you? I mean, they've already ruled on it, so, you know... it's going to be typical, probably RFL fashion. Next season, it'll probably be banned, and he probably won't be able to do it again.
Which is the only thing I was going to say on it. Just because it's legal doesn't mean the players obviously don't like it, do they?
No.
Because there isn't really an attempt to wrap arms around as such. He sort of cannonballed his way in.
Mm. So maybe that's the players' way of saying,
do something about this.
We don't like this. You need to protect us, sort of thing.
Is he the only player in Super League that does that? I can't...
He's the only player that I can think of that does that.
Because he puts himself in a bit of danger, doesn't he?
You'll probably see a couple more players do it this season.
Yeah.
Because they'll go, well, there's nothing wrong with it, I can't get in trouble.
I was about to say, I think I've seen a couple of players do the tackle after him, but in terms of the technique, I believe, he's the one that sort of started the trend, if you like.
Mm. Okay.
He's some player, though, I will say that.
Asiata.
Yeah.
Mm.
He can't... For somebody his size as well, the way he gets involved in the playmaking and really digs in at the line. He's like an halfback. Mm.
But he does an awful lot of work defensively
Some
as well,
player.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a quality player.
Yeah. Yeah. Point three, the yellow card. How crucial was it? And also leading to the fact that Minicella then gives his another 2 points, 4 points he's give away.
Mm.
Personally, I don't think it's a yellow card. In general, I think he's gone in, he's clearly tried to charge the ball down, and he's just followed through. There's no intent, there's no deliberate action of trying to elbow him in the face or shoulder him or anything like that. And I've said that all season long with those kind of tackles, and it's becoming to the point where we've said it before, you can't seem to put your hands on a halfback, so what's the point in trying to do so? You might as well just go, oh yeah, mate, just kick it as deep as you want.
But he didn't really put his hands on him. He turned his back on him with exactly. Some sort of elbow, and
well,
was
I think
it an elbow, a forearm, or
yeah,
he
like
turned
a,
his
yeah,
back
it was
on
more
him,
of a
wasn't
forearm,
it?
Wasn't it? I think he was trying to jump and block the ball. That was the sort of motion that he was making, and the timing of it, if you like, is wrong because he ends up clipping him a little bit in the face.
But I also think he's gone to look where the ball's gone.
I actually didn't think he caught him in the face that much. I thought it was more of his hip that hit him.
I think he's gone to look where the ball's gone after he's obviously not charged it down, and he's not really focused on Ben Reynolds. But again, staying down.
I've heard, well, that comes in a second, point four, but point three, I've just to continue on that for a sec, I've read things this week, which doesn't matter after the event, but I'd read things at the time that said he's lucky not to get red.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
No, I'm not.
I can see why they've given it as a sin bin. For me, it was just a penalty.
Okay. Well, point four, and this is about then the staying down, etc. And I've watched the comment when I've watched the game back, and Jonathan Davis said that this is the Challenge Cup final, and intimated that you should have different rules for that so they keep people on the pitch. Get out of that though, can you?
No, you're just asking for trouble then, even more trouble.
Why is he still commentating?
The only good right. Me and Bobbles went to the pub to watch it, and for some reason they didn't have the sound on, did they?
No, they didn't.
And the only good thing that came out of that was that I didn't have to listen to Jonathan Davis for 83 minutes.
But then there was another late hit by Ipapi on Minicella that got them back to 10-10. And I'm thinking that one was really his back to him, and he'd sort of relaxed a bit. But it wasn't. He wrapped his arms around and just sort of like, well, cuddled him to a greater extent.
Mm. The rules,
these late hits are getting harder to understand every week.
Rules are becoming farcical, aren't they? And I think that really does lead into the view of referee abuse. Referee performances, which leads to the abuse of them, because the rules aren't very clear cut.
No.
And they're very silly, and so it's hard to judge in real time what is and what, like, it makes it really difficult for referees.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally on point four, is Ben Reynolds the new Richie Myler?
he likes to stay down and milk his penalties a lot, doesn't he?
But he knows he's going to get one.
Yeah. I just...
You can't, for some reason now, like you say, you can't touch the kicker. I just don't understand the logic of why shouldn't you be able to put pressure on him? Why can they let them do what they want?
Can't just let the kicker just like
put it where
float
he wants.
A bomb like with, you know, with his dinner jacket on and just like, you know.
Surely there's got to be a difference between making an attempt to tackle, i.e. wrapping the arms around him, and a clear knock to the floor with the shoulder. That is where the line is. But
so you can't tackle with your shoulder.
Yeah.
Right. So if the kicker gets shoulder charge, there you go, penalty. Mm,
yeah.
If he gets it in the head, shoulder, he can't do that, penalty.
Standing leg.
If he takes his standing leg, penalty. I don't get it where if he kicks it and then gets tackled and he gets wrestled to the ground sort of thing, because you've heard referees say, oh, he's hit him aggressively.
Yeah.
It's rugby league.
Yeah. there's intent in the tackle or something along those
good.
Lines.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Is that not the point of the game?
This is weird. Do you know, I'll tell you what reminds me about Ben Reynolds.
And it's not so much this incidental point, because this one was a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. But should I tell you what reminds me about Ben Reynolds and this staying down and this sort of thing?
Is it the shape of his head?
No, well, this...
Because that's what annoys him about me. That haircut don't suit the shape of his head.
No. To be fair, you did tell me if you ruffled his head, then his hair would probably fall off.
He's got an head like a space raider. No, Chris. It like comes out at the top.
Well, that's put mine right into perspective, that. Because mine was chewing. He's always chewing.
Right, I've not noticed.
What you tattoo?
I don't look at his mouth because look at the top of his head.
Right, you watch. Right, well, you watch them highlights back. Right, and he'll get up. Well, before he takes the penalty, he's always chewing. I'm like, shut your mouth! What are you chewing? You can't be chewing while you're playing rugby, can you?
Well, you wouldn't have thought so.
A bit dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, but surely he's not chewing. Right,
well, Maybe. Telling you, watch it. Anybody there, anybody listening, watch it, because honestly, it's like...
Maybe he gets one from the guy that hands him his kicking tail. He just pops one in before he takes the kick, like a good luck charm or something.
Unless he's eating Space Raiders. Yeah. Oh, dear me. Right. Number five. It's a pretty short one. I suppose it's a yes or no, really. Lachlan Land's try, did he knock on?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think he did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've only
seen it from
angle.
The reverse angle, but...
I haven't seen that.
I don't know. I just thought he looked like he knocked on.
I haven't seen that.
I think at the end of the day, I think even if let's say that the referee thought, oh, there's a little bit of doubt there, he isn't going to go to the video ref and say no try, is he?
No, he'll try.
But I don't think you'll find a camera angle that would, or enough camera angle for them to go, we'll overturn it. I don't think you'd find one. No. I think regardless, it stays as a try.
I think you only have to look at both sides of the ball, you know, both sides of his dive.
Maybe it would have been interesting to see, you know, with the proper slow motion, like camera and whatnot.
I'd like to see it again from that angle.
Well,
because I was convinced at the time he'd knocked on.
I didn't think he did.
Okay. Right. That leads us on to a similar thing. We're talking about video ref, right? And I'm in particular talking about the whole KR equalising try in the last minute and the amount of time. That video ref decision took longer than one of Kevin Sinfield's ultramarathons.
Yeah.
Right?
But didn't bring as much money in.
Did for Lee.
Yeah, maybe.
But honestly, right, if you can't, and on the commentary he's saying, Challenge Cup final, I'll take as long as I need, as long as I want, right? That begs two questions for me. The second one I've already forgot. But the first one was, is any one try more important than another in that respect, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about game-winning tries in the league.
No, but he was going, oh, it's, you know, it's just the language that he used, didn't he? Like, this is the Challenge Cup final, it's take about, as long as we want.
It's about me.
Yeah, I've not had to do anything all game. I'm going to, you know, get my money's worth.
Let's talk about me.
Yeah, no, it's like, well, if you're going to do that for that, you should be doing that for every try, shouldn't you? But it almost nullified, well, it did nullify, really, whatever the referee sent it up as, didn't it? Like, because he sent it up as a try.
He did.
But he was, the amount of time that he took looking at it was like...
They were trying to see...
Why are you not taking that into account if the referee thinks... Because they wouldn't do that for any other try.
No, they were trying to see...
Or just a regular league game. It wouldn't have took that long.
No, and they're trying to see who it had come off, if it had come off anybody, etc. Goes back to my argument forever. If you can't see something in 30 seconds...
No, yeah, I agree, but... You know, it was a big obviously it was a huge moment in the game, in the last minute. It's a lot of responsibility for one man to have in it in the box who doesn't have controls over the controls.
Reminded me.
Because they have somebody with them, don't they? Like, because he goes, oh, let me see this angle. So they don't have controls over the... So it's always a bit more difficult when somebody's doing it for you. And it's a lot of pressure to have on one person.
Reminded me of the time when they first brought this in. Do you remember when they first brought it in? You used to have to... You could go back to any time in the set of six.
Yeah.
Deary me. It was a bit like that.
Mm.
Anyway, I just think that the amount of time that...
And it was ridiculous.
It isn't just this one either. It's generally.
Mm.
It's generally.
Yeah.
If you go to the match and it's on telly, and you go to the match and it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, nowadays you're not getting out of the ground till after 10.
No. No.
Which is ridiculous.
But it's not like it was a unique situation. It wasn't a unique review for a video referee. You see them type of kicks and them sort of... situations all the time.
Yeah.
And they don't say it that long.
Yeah. That's right. Point number 7. Hull KR had an extra time that I can only describe as woeful.
Well, that's not what you said the other day. That's not the way you described it the other day.
What did I say the other day?
That they'd had a worst extra time since West Germany in 1966.
Yeah, they did. somebody responded on Twitter that are England in the World Cup in 2022.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, they were really lucky to start off with, weren't they? Because he just lost that ball.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, so they lose it.
And then they don't find touch.
Don't find touch.
Yeah.
Then Lee work it down, and I thought Gareth O'Brien then was going to...
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a difficult chance.
No, he put it wide, didn't he?
Put it wide. Then they work it up, and why on earth they tried a drop goal from where they did?
Mm.
There's having a go and trying to win some, but there's being sensible in the moment.
Well, if he puts that to a corner, if he keeps that ball in play, they don't get 7 tackles set, and I don't think they get up the field.
Exactly. You're either putting it into touch, or you're putting that, like you said, in the corner. And Leah then setting off back from 10 or 20 yards out.
Yeah, on 6 tackles rather than 7.
With 6 tackles rather than 7. They're not getting in.
Yeah.
They're not getting that. No. So at the worst, if you look at the time, I think it's nearly 84 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At the worst, Hull KR get another set, the last set before half time.
Yeah.
To get a drop goal.
Mm.
And thus, my prediction that we did on last week's pod.
I was just about to ask you that. Did you get a little bit excited when you thought...
I did, actually, yeah.
When you thought, I've been rock bottom of this predictions, like I've done rubbish this year, and then all of a sudden, your one prediction of a Brad Schneider drop goal could come true.
I was so close, wasn't I?
Were you almost like, oh my God, I got it right?
Yeah, nearly, yeah. But then they get the ball back and knock on again.
Yep.
They did everything in that extra time period to give the cup to Lee, and they did it in the end.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought for especially the first 40, Hull KR's discipline and the handling was appalling.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised they were still in it at half time. They were that bad the first half.
I mean, I've heard people saying about, like, oh, this was the greatest final ever. Wasn't there, was it?
No.
Exciting. It was close and it was different because it was two different teams.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the best final ever.
No, it wasn't.
From a neutral and a...
entertaining.
From a neutral and maybe someone who's new to the sport, they might see it as a fantastic final and that's great for rugby. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Those kind of games in your showcases are what you want. But as far as the greatest game ever, no.
Yeah. Okay, point 8, golden point versus extra time.
Easy one, extra time.
There's absolutely no way whatsoever that a Challenge Cup final should be decided on golden point.
No, I agree.
Can you imagine the Champions League going straight to penalties at the end of 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're talking about,
pretty much. But at least in a penalty shootout, you have a right to reply.
Yeah, but without extra time.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Even with a penalty shootout.
You've got to write, yeah. You've
right,
got that,
let's
yeah.
say golden, like that golden point, right, when, I don't know, okay, I kicked off to Lee.
Yeah.
Right? And Lee romp it up the pitch, and he and Gareth O'Brien pops hammers a drop goal from 40, 50 yards.
Which he can.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Seriously, what else can you do?
Yeah, no, no, nothing. No, you're absolutely right. And but you cannot decide. And we only have...
The well, semi-finals shouldn't be...
I agree. Semi-finals
golden
and finals.
Point either.
Yeah, I agree. Right, in rugby league, we've got... Domestically, we've got three trophies to play for. Mm-hmm. One of them doesn't even get enough credit.
No.
Which is the hardest one to win.
Yeah.
Right? So the hardest one to win, the league leader, doesn't get anything.
No.
Right? So then you've got the grand final, and you've got the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
So you've got, out of those three major trophies, this is one of the three, and you're deciding it on a golden point after right. after 80 minutes of absolutely giving everything. Mm-hmm. When people have travelled hundreds and hundreds of miles, they've spent fortunes to watch. Yes, they've got to be a loser. But to me, not like that.
No, not like that.
I don't. I think we should do, to me, I know I think it's 7.5 each way.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which basically is less than a quarter of the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's too much to, in a one-off to ask. Right. I think it's 7.5 each way. Then if it's a draw,
then you have your
then you're going
bottom.
Because now suddenly you've played 95 minutes mm-hmm. and you can't separate them. I ain't got an objection then.
Replay.
Don't even get me started on replay. Right, so this should be, first of all, should be a replay. 1982, Hull v. Widnes, Helen Road.
Just extra time.
Okay.
Followed yeah. by a golden point.
Yeah.
If you just, especially after time. What you've just said about people spending loads on a one day out, your attendances at Wembley might drop off even more because... You definitely won't get as many for the replay because they won't want to spend that money again.
Okay, so let's. I'll stick with that then. I'll jump ahead to point nine. Then, does Wembley still have the match? Does it still hold the magic?
I think if you speak to anybody that went, any of the players, any of the coaching staff, whatever, every single person that went on Saturday would say yes.
Mm.
Look at the women's game and how incredible that was for them.
Yeah.
You've got championship players who would never have that opportunity to do that, most likely.
58,200.
Yes. I mean, I believe there was a really bad accident on the M1, wasn't there, which might have scuppered the figures a little bit.
I'm not sure it does scupper the figures. Because
well, I heard there was 20,000 people stuck on the M1.
I'm not sure about that, but I'm not sure that if they've bought a ticket, whether those are included in the attendance.
Right.
So that could have been it.
Right, okay.
Because the top layer, the top tier, should have said.
Well, that was completely shut off.
So
yeah.
I think it's... I think they're
yeah,
included.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
So, and that's gone down over the last 10 years from 70-odd, 75,000, 80,000.
The problem is... With the cost of living and everything, I mean, ticket prices have gone up, train fares are ridiculous, and that's even if you can get on one. Fuel, hotels, if you want to go the night before, everything has gone up, and it doesn't help. But the actual stadium, if you go once you're in there, is magical.
Of course,
it's getting people there,
and that's the problem. So if you take out couple of thousand, let's say, Saints and Leeds fans that have gone down to watch their team in the women's final, and you take out another few thousand that have gone from Batley and Halifax, for that game that might not have attended,
yeah,
you're near a 50, aren't you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
and you're right. It's like you're right. It's for those players, for the staff, for everybody involved. Played at Wembley, won at Wembley, played at whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's magnificent. And for them, that's magnificent. But it doesn't hold the aura for the neutral fan anymore that are going down, because it used to be a proper community day out years ago. The whole rugby league community will go and watch.
I think we've mentioned it before, and it's probably worth saying again. As Callum just said, people probably can't afford to go and spend money on a team that isn't theirs anymore. Plus the fact that you've got Magic Weekend. That is, that essentially is
the actual
your rugby
tickets,
league day
you get
out.
A full weekend ticket for about 20 quid or something daft.
But your team's playing at Magic Weekend, let's say. Right. But you can go for 2 days because you can watch the rest of the game. Would you rather go to that or have a day out at Wembley if your team wasn't playing?
Magic Weekend.
Yeah, I'd rather do Magic Weekend. Just because, again, like I've said, I personally...
Just because I get to see my team.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to spend money on a team that isn't mine, especially a lot of money like that.
If my team wasn't playing at Magic Weekend, again, though, it's like, well, I could go, I could watch 3 games.
What if you were, like, let's say, a Bradford Bulls fan? So you're in the Championship, your team's not playing, but you've got a choice. You can go to Newcastle or you can go to Wembley.
Again, though, you're getting more value for your money going to Newcastle because you're watching 3 games. If we're talking about the day,
if you go for a day, yeah.
You're getting 3 games, so it's a difficult. I don't think it's a very fair question. If you like.
No, you're right,
but I get what you're trying to say.
So, but should it stay at Wembley?
Yeah. I think it means too much for the players and too much for the fans that get there to move it. I understand that you get the whole debate of rugby league is in the north and we're taking it down south, and I get that, but at the end of the day, it's England's national stadium. Like, that in itself is big enough to, you know, we've got a statue there, and It's
they didn't leave us out of that.
I was just
going
to say, to be fair, any publicity that Wembley does never involves rugby league.
No, it doesn't.
It's about Sky Sports,
which is annoying, and I understand that. But I think this weekend in particular, all you have to do is look at the women's game, and I think you can see how special it means to everybody, because that was the first time the women's game was played at Wembley.
Yeah, but every single game, because it was all teams that haven't been there before.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Not the new one anyway.
Yeah.
But then that brings the question, if it wasn't at Wembley, where would it be? I mean, Spurs went down well last year, but I don't see the point in that, because
you might as well
keep it
at Wembley. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Do you think if you took it to... The Etihad, say they took it to City. Do you think the attendance would be that much better?
I don't think the attendance would be that much better.
You're talking about wanting to watch your own team and people can't afford to spend money on a team that isn't theirs. Would there be that many more neutrals go?
Possibly.
I think it's a shorter travel time.
It's within striking distance for people.
You don't have to spend money on hotels and stuff. There and come back.
Like, is it worth
it? Well, I think you'd sell it out. Because the Etihad only holds, is it 52, 55, something like that?
I think it's close to 60 now.
Has it increased
now? Or
it
will be. Yeah.
So if it was 60, I still think you'd sell it out.
I think the atmosphere as a whole would be better.
But could you have... You couldn't have a triple header. If you're saying there's 58 gone, and there's 6 different teams playing,
yeah,
but you're going to get more, you couldn't have the triple header.
Mm.
Right, you could, though, because... You then give the finalists, whatever it may be, you give them 50,000, you give them the 20,000 each or whatever, which covers all their fan base with the amount of crowds that they get every week.
No, I don't think it works.
Well,
I don't think it works.
I think it's irrelevant, to be honest, because I think it'll stay for the foreseeable anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question.
Mm. Point 10, then. I've got 2 words for you, Callum. The second one is Beaumont. Derek Beaumont.
I'll start off by saying what he's done is absolutely fantastic. Everybody was absolutely wet in the pants at this rebrand and everything, and just him in general, and they have done for a bit because he's done some right stupid things like going on Judge Rinder with Marwan Kukas. What's that about?
It's about him.
Yeah, what he's done is fantastic.
Did he win on that, by the way?
I can't remember.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. What's a bigger win, Judge Rinder or the Challenge Cup? So what he's done is fantastic. You know, the money that he's invested and the rebrand and everything, it's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is, it's not about you. For starters, I said to you all week, Bobby, if he wears a leopard print suit to the Challenge Cup final, I'm going to go ballistic.
And what did he have on?
He had a leopard print suit on. And shoes.
And shoes.
It's the Challenge Cup final, mate. Just wear a leopard print tie.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's enough.
Absolutely fine.
Club tie.
Wear a nice suit. It's the Challenge Cup final. It's our most... It's one of our most
important days. Watched. It's the most watched
rugby league
event. Because they're more watching this than they would watch in the grand final, probably. Yeah, so, yeah.
Why are you doing that? It's stupid. Everybody knows you're the leopard. You don't need to keep proving it. Right? Why on earth are you jumping all the players as soon as the whistle goes?
Why are you talking to Adrian Lamb before Golden Point?
Yeah. Like,
let him do his job.
Have you seen anything of Adrian Lamb since they've won it?
No. Have you seen anything of Lachlan Lamb since they won it?
I haven't seen anything about the Lee team since they've won it.
It's all about him and stupid Lambos since, and stuff.
He's been on the radio... He's been on BBC, he's been on ITV.
Have you actually seen Lee's Twitter account? I think the last picture they put up was one of it. Right, so they've gone from them lifting the trophy, right, to Derek Beaumont in a taxi with the trophy, to Derek Beaumont in bed with the trophy.
Who's took that? Like,
his wife.
He's not really asleep, is he?
Right.
Well, quick, take a picture of me. Yeah, he's not really asleep, is he?
I've not seen anything of the team. Mind Lachlan Lamb, who... All right, yeah, Lachlan Lamb probably should have been your highlight of that team, but I've not seen anything of the team. It's all in.
Could you imagine Gary Etherington running on the pitch, jumping on all the players with, like, a big rhino horn on his head? What happened, would it? Going...
Where would he be going?
What nice as a rhino, mate?
Not that, I don't think.
No, it's just like, it's hard to, it'll sound silly, but like you can see what I'm doing.
I know what you mean, yeah. But like, yeah, no, you're quite right.
Like rampaging at people with his big arm tied to his head. What happened?
No. But he's like, just calm down a bit, innit? That's what you're saying, innit? Just listen, Derek, you know. Just
brilliant, well done. But let the team have
some
credit.
Let the team have the glory, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
The team that's won it.
Yep.
And then the coach.
Yep.
Then you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Winds me up. He's done brilliant, but he winds me up.
Which winds you up more? The leopard skin suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the space raider. The space raider head.
Or the suit. The suit.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't Wembley and he was wearing it like the home game,
it'd
be his head.
It's good. It's Wembley.
Yeah,
have some respect.
Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you said, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
Just very quick. You know that story of Wimbledon when Lewis Hamilton turned up in shorts and he turned him away. Do you think Derek Bowman would try and get him with a leopard suit on?
Wimbledon.
Yeah, do you think he'd turn him away?
Turn him away differently.
Do you think they would though? Because it is a suit.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know. I think they've got standards because he turned up in ripped jeans and like some sort of sweatshirt. Yeah, and they said, "Nah, mate, you're not coming in."
Yeah, but do you think they'd turn Derek Bowman away in a suit?
I think they'd say exactly the same thing and say, "Nah, mate, you're not coming in like that."
Maybe that's what
you are not sitting next to Cliff Richard wearing that.
That's what Kevin Bacon should have said to him when he gets end up at Wembley.
Well, I would have thought.
E. Wembley, Kevin Bacon, just like, no, mate, you're not coming in.
Okay, what your contract says. Yeah. No, all right. Last point on this game is number 11. This is the last point on this one, though. How do you think both teams will react after this for the rest of the season? Bobby, I'm going to come to you first, and you can take Hull KR.
I think you'll naturally see Hull KR be a bit, maybe, I think they'll be a bit lacklustre for a couple of weeks. I think you can probably see one or two sides to this. They'll either fire up and think, right, let's go again for the grand final, which I think they will do. I think it just might take them a couple of weeks to get over this Wembley hangover. And I do think that, but as long as that couple of weeks doesn't affect them too harshly, I can still see them making the playoffs. Especially with those teams around them again, I still think they're in with a chance for that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think my prediction is that they'll still make the top six.
Okay. And Callum, talk for Lee now of a double or even a treble.
I mean, I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility. Obviously, they've been second for most of the season. I think, again, it might take them a couple of weeks to get back into gear because, I mean, some of the players, and you could probably guess which ones. I don't think it takes a genius to work it out. Some of them will still be in the pub now and probably won't be out until they have to kick off against Catalan this weekend. So, I mean, we rarely see a team back up after a Wembley win.
Emotionally as well.
So, you know, it might take them a couple of weeks to get back into it. But they're obviously going to be in the playoffs and, you know.
Been quite lucky with injuries, I think, this season. Because they haven't got the biggest squad, but they seem to have had the same back line for all season.
Usually them that win the league do well with injuries.
Mm.
Usually.
Yeah. Mm.
That's why they win it, because they play with the same players every week.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
So where do you see Lee going for the rest of the season then? Do you see them continuing to finish second or third?
No, I think they'll finish more fourth, maybe fifth. I can't remember the league table.
Well, there's a 6-point gap now between fifth and fourth. It's 32,
right,
and it's 28, and the next is 22, sorry. So you'd think top four is guaranteed,
I think they'll probably finish fourth then.
Okay. And a double?
No, but they might make the final.
Okay. Interesting. Last two on Wembley then. Number 12, Saints Women. Three-peat of the Challenge Cup and the first one at Wembley.
Yeah, incredible achievement. They played really well. They had a real sort of purple patch where they scored like three tries in 5 minutes or something, didn't they?
Sealed the game, killed it off
early on, but... some of the breaks that they make were really good and, you know, history makers.
Mm. And Jodie Cunningham was the player of the match and a fantastic performance that she was involved in absolutely everything.
Yeah, she's a real stalwart of the team, isn't she? And like you say, she's involved in everything and she's done that for the last few years as well, so...
Yeah, a particularly good achievement as well, I think, when... A couple of, you know, when they won the first one of these, they were probably the standout team by a mile.
Mm.
And then certainly Leeds and York have caught them up, haven't they, in terms of because of the paying players and things like that.
Mm.
And the advent of the Super League, which is stronger all round. So it's a really good achievement, I think. And also, I think you've got to pay tribute or look at the way that Matty Smith has taken the team on board because... I think, you know, if you go back, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, you'd have never got an ex-Super League scrum half, I don't think, with that profile taking on the coaching job at a women's team.
No, I don't think you would. And I think, as you said, he's done an amazing job this season with St. Helens Women. And, you know, I've said it before on this pod, but, you know, not only with the St. Helens Women, we've mentioned it before, I think, and the reason I bring this up is again, I don't think he's probably far off. Maybe an assistant's job in Super League, or even, you know, a head coach one day, because you know Laurent Frazigny was missing from Saints for about 3 or 4 weeks, wasn't he? And when Matty Smith took over, I think Saints attack looked one of the best it has all season. And I don't think it's any shame in saying that Matty Smith probably played a big role in that.
Mm.
So again, I don't think he's probably that far off his own. He's off his own next step up, if you like.
Well, you say that, and I agree with you. And I think if you look at that, Bobby just mentioned about being an assistant there, Callum. It seems that his hometown club might be the one, because he's already been involved, and it might be more of a full time thing. I'm not sure where that.
Yeah.
Where do you see him in the future? He's not going to be coach of the women's team forever, is he?
No, he's not. I've always thought he'd make a good coach, to be honest. Just comes across as that type of player and that type of guy, doesn't he? But yeah, no, I think he'd probably do a few years in his assistant, whether that's at one club or several, I'm not so sure. There might be a good chance that it could be at St. Helens, because I think, like Bobby said, Fresno New was missing. That's for family reasons. Don't know what it is. Maybe that's forcing him to move at the end of the year. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But he'd fit in perfectly there. And then, yeah, I think he'll want to probably try and step up and take the reins at somewhere, won't he?
Mm. Yeah. And the last point on our 1-13 of Wembley is the 1895 Cup, Batley and Halifax. I feel a bit let down by this, but what an absolute unbelievable try from Elliot Keir to in the last minute. One of the greatest tries Wembley's ever seen.
Mm. Talk about keeping the ball alive, yeah.
But then they missed the kick.
Yeah, no, it was
disappointing. I know, it was just like, yeah, that's the fairy tale of the try then was just
short-lived.
Yeah, but what a try.
Oh, fantastic try.
And, you know, I think there was 14 passes until he went in the corner and they kicked it. It was like wide to West, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic to watch. And
Keir in the corner.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Again, just you've pretty much summed it up there. It was a fantastic try, but you were almost begging him to kick that goal, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely. But again, what an opportunity, and what a great day out for both sets of players there, like we've said before about the Wembley thing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Brilliant. I think that wraps up our 1-13 of Wembley.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
But there was another game.
The big one.
The big game of the weekend. Was at the Totally Wicked Stadium. St. Helens 32, Huddersfield 18.
Yeah. It's weird to say, but it feels like, firstly, I think it was one of those games that, from the highlights, especially, I got the instance that the scoreline was a bit flattering towards St. Helens.
They got a couple of late ones, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think it looked a bit further away than it was, but it looked like Huddersfield were going to come back at one point in the game
with 12 men.
Mm. Well, St. Helens had a great start, didn't they? Got off to a flyer, they 14-0 up
in about 10 or 15 minutes.
I think Tommy Makin's in first half hat trick. They got one late in the first. They went into half time 14 points up.
So I suppose my question to you is, I know they scored 32 points and all that, but really, what's wrong with Saints' attack? Because it's been the question all year,
and it's coming to the real business end of the season now, and it's not happening, so it's not going to happen, I don't think, because it would have already happened. But there doesn't seem to be any signs of improvement to me.
No, there doesn't, but yet, in the same instance, there was moments in this game where, more towards the finishing aspect of it, but you know, some of the attack on the to settle the tries were good. There was the pass from Wellesby to Makinson for his
they've had moments all year, but they seem to be really struggling to get over the line.
They only seem to throw the ball about when they really need to,
when they're behind.
I was going to say when they're really in front, but even then they don't think they do.
There's been a couple of instances where they've had injuries, and I remember Warrington at home earlier in the season, things like that.
I find them at the minute quite dull to watch at the minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The big talking point from this game was obviously the Greenwood sending off.
Yeah, the Lees, Greenwood and Knowles triangle.
Yeah.
Take me through it.
I mean, it's what's happened all year, really, hasn't it? Greenwood takes the ball and Lees, I think he does hit him a bit high. Greenwood sort of reacts and he's trying to get his arm out and cops him with a forearm/elbow. Greenwood gets sent off. Oh, but Knowles come in, didn't he? And people were going, he'd come in and punched him, but he'd come over the top and grabbed him.
So let me break it down then. Greenwood gets sent off for an elbow.
Yeah.
But has no case to answer, if you like. He's sending off sufficient. He hasn't got a ban.
I find that ridiculous.
Okay.
Because they've obviously said, you've done something wrong, because here's your fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't see how you can say you can hit somebody with an elbow and not get a ban.
Not get a ban. Okay. Number two, Matty Lees then has got two matches.
No issues with it, really. It's been the story of the season. I think two's probably a bit harsh, but not a real issue with it.
Again, previous hasn't helped him.
No, probably not.
I have to disagree with that. I know it's the way that the league's gone this season and stuff, but for me, I think there's an attempt to tackle. He wraps him up and, all right, maybe his shoulder caps cops him in the chin a little bit, but you know, Greenwood's a tall guy as well. It is high then, isn't it?
He's like a giraffe, isn't he? He's already like 8'3".
Mm.
But even so, I still think he's not shoulder charged him. I think he's gone to wrap him and his shoulder just happens to hit him
in the face.
But I think there's a difference between a shoulder charge and an actual attempt to tackle, is my point.
It's not a shoulder, it's contact with the head. It's not a shoulder charge.
It's contact with the head,
which is how it's been all season. I've not a massive issue with it.
No. Okay, and Morgan Knowles.
There's always an outcry
when Morgan Knowles is involved, isn't there? From like the rugby league, like total rugby league fan base.
It's not a punch.
You know, people take videos, they slow videos down. And, I don't think there's a punch. I think he's gone over the top and he's grabbed him by the arm of the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second issue on that people have got a massive issue with is that they said he was headbutting him on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
All the videos that you see are very blurry, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they've been filled on some sort of potato.
Yeah, they've got like some sort of butter on the lens, you know what I mean? It's like, you know.
I think...
But it's just the name, isn't it? It's Morgan Knowles, isn't it?
Yeah. There was another issue in the game, another incident, I should say. Matty English.
English, yeah.
And that one really annoyed me because he got a caution.
Yeah,
and for me...
Ban. Yeah.
It was a cannonball tackle on Percival.
Season ender.
For me, it's career ending, yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can only get a caution for that.
Mm.
I bet if you asked every single player in the league, they'd rather get it with the Matty Lees tackle than they would the Matty English one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not to say that the Matty Lees one's right.
No,
but I'm just saying, how can he get a 2-game ban for that and he not get anything for that?
So in all this, one of them's wrong, right? In all this, one of them's wrong. Either the referee's wrong or the match review panel's wrong. One of them's wrong.
Or both.
Yeah, a little bit of column A.
Yeah. Well, the match review panel is... I mean, you never know what they're going to say, do you, on a weekly basis. It seems to be different every week, but the Matty English one, I had a real problem with.
Yeah, it doesn't sit well with me, and especially when you see the match review panel comments, and one of the comments is, you know, the comments literally say, puts undue pressure on a joint. Yeah. Like, you've literally described a cannonball tackle to an absolute T, and then gone... They just slap on the wrist.
Give them a caution. So they've obviously said, listen, you're doing something wrong here.
Yeah. Don't do it again, please. But, you know, just be careful.
And then finally, to wrap all this up, Ian Watson's press conference, where he becomes the third coach in recent weeks to really, really criticise officials and decisions, etc.
Yeah, people have had enough now, haven't they?
Wellens, Rowley, and now Watson. And Watson was really critical of that incident we just spoke about, the Lees Greenwood Knowles.
Well, he'll see that as costing them the game, though, won't he? Because he's had a man sent off.
Does that influence the panel? Shouldn't do.
It shouldn't do, but quite possibly.
But it's getting more regular that the coach is now coming out to
the standard of officiating isn't as good as it was. No. But I also think that the rules don't help them.
No, I agree.
I think that's the bigger problem.
Mm.
I think the bigger problem is not the referees themselves. I think it's the, I firmly believe you don't get to Super League without being a good referee. And I just don't think that the game and the rules, are helping them out at all.
I think it was Ian Smith on Twitter. He said that there's also nobody like underneath pushing them. When they were there, there was young referees coming through that were pushing them to keep their performances up.
He was talking about being a mentor, wasn't he? A referee's mentor. Yeah.
So,
but I'm not saying they ever will, but please don't ever listen to what Paul Rowley said either about paying them paying them on based on performances. That's just a ridiculous comment, isn't it?
Because they don't have for players.
I was just going to say, do it for your players first
and yourself.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Please don't ever listen to that.
Like the old system. Yeah,
yeah.
There we go. Well, that was our 1-13 of Wembley chat and a little bit of Super League thrown in as well.
Yeah.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Yes, Stats of the Week time. And an interesting one by all accounts because, I don't want to say, too much about them, but Bobby did say before we start recording,
a quote,
"I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but I think this might be the best week of Stats of the Week."
See, now you put I was just trying to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know,
I'm just saying. I just like some of the stats that I've found this week. That's all. I think they're quite good.
Okay. All right. Well then. No greeting this week.
Hello.
There you go.
Okay. So we'll start in Australia. We got 7 this week, by the way.
Okay.
7. Stat number one is Adam Reynolds has become the second player in NRL history to kick 1,000 goals. However, he does so in 86 games less than the first player to do so in Cameron Smith.
All right, okay, cool.
I thought you were going to say... what's his name? Hazim El-Masri. Yeah, I thought he was...
No, he never... Yeah, I thought... Yeah.
He was one of the best kickers I've ever seen him, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of games, that, isn't it? For Adam Reynolds, a lot less games.
A lot less games, yeah.
I think it was...
2 seasons.
I think it was...
How many games nearly was it?
271, 86, he's done it in.
86
nearly,
games.
Nearly 3 seasons.
Oh, sorry, it is nearly 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stat number two. For the first time since round 17 in 2013, the Canberra Raiders have failed to score a try. They've scored a try in every game for the last 10 years until this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm. In the Jim Morrison derby?
Yeah, in the Jim Morrison derby.
Mm. Nothing to show for it, though, have they?
No, unfortunately not.
Just a nice stat. Yeah. just put nice stat.
Stat number three is, as we all know, Lachlan Lamb won the Lance Todd this weekend. So just a couple of stats around him and that itself. he is the 17th scrum half to win the award. And only the 7th in the Super League era to win the award as a scrum half.
Okay.
Sean Long won about 3 of them. I think he did, didn't he?
I know he won 2.
I feel like, or was that the grand final where they shared one?
Was that not? No, that was the, he shared it with Leon Price.
Paul Wellens, Leon
Price. Paul Wellens, Leon Price. Oh, I'm not sure actually. Yeah, maybe they did share a grand final one.
Anyway, sorry, there must have been more to this, right?
No, it's okay. Yeah, there is. He is also the first scrum half to win it in 6 years. The last player to win it from that position was Mark Sneed in 2017.
Okay.
And a bit more of an obvious one, he is the first Papua New Guinea player to win the Lance Todd.
Okay.
Very good.
Excellent. And sorry, Sean Long won it in 2006, 2004, and 2001.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
Stat number four, and this one was sent in to us on Twitter via a message, and that was, out of all the 4 men's teams at Wembley this weekend, Halifax have won the Challenge Cup the most times. And maybe even more surprising than that, They were also the most recent in 1987.
That was from Alex, wasn't it?
Yes.
Thank you, Alex, for that.
Sorry, did I not say his name? Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was at that game, you know.
Great. What's the next one?
yeah, they beat St. Helens in that one, 1987.
Right.
I think it was 1918, I think.
Yeah, right, okay.
Stat number five, and this one's just more of a kind of a comedy stat, if you like, but I quite liked it. And that is Craig Lingard, the head coach of Batley, is the first rugby league coach to coach at Wembley and also be a countdown champion.
Is it?
Yeah. Back in 2012, he appeared on Countdown and won three times.
No right. way.
Yeah.
Right. That's brilliant.
I just like that one. It made me laugh.
Which reminds me, I switched Countdown on this afternoon, right? And you know who was on it?
Was it like, Craig Lingard?
No, it wasn't Craig Lingard. It was that Asian guy called Avi, who was in The Apprentice last year.
Oh, really?
Right, that annoying one.
Yeah.
He was on Countdown this afternoon.
Was
he? I thought, I'm sure I've seen him before.
Was he any good?
No, he was getting hammered when I saw it. Yeah, absolutely hammered. But Craig Lingard didn't.
No, no. He didn't. Stat number six is Tom Briscoe, who obviously scored at the weekend, now has the same amount of tries in Challenge Cup finals as Hull KR do in their history.
God.
So, in a Challenge Cup final, they've both scored eight tries.
And he scored most of them against Hull KR.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he scored six of them.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And yet, forever remembered for...
his roly-poly.
There you go.
And finally, my last start of the week is that when a Challenge Cup final has been played at Wembley for the first time, the first try has been scored by a hooker.
Yeah.
Back 1946, when it was moved to the old Wembley, the Wigan hooker scored the first try. Back in 2007, when it was moved to the new Wembley, a bit more recently, James Robey for Saints scored the first try.
2007. He's still playing.
And then, obviously, this weekend, for Saints women, who that was their first game, the first ever Women's Challenge Cup at Wembley, Tara Jones got the first try from Excellent. Hooker. So, yeah.
Very good.
There you go.
Yeah, they were good.
They were good.
They were good.
Toot, toot.
The bar's pretty high now.
Yeah, I've don't expect them all week. Don't expect them all year round.
That's me done for the year.
I can go back to five now.
Excellent.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yes, I will quickly run through the scores for the NRL, and there's a couple of things just to go along with it very, very briefly that I want to get your comments on as well. Manly 12, the Panthers 24. They're looking very good for a three-peat at the Penrith Panthers.
They seem to have lost for ages.
Come back when you've done four.
Yeah.
The Sharks 36, Titans 6. Not a good week for the Titans, Andy.
It serves them right for getting rid of Justin Albrook when they had no need to.
But the big news coming out of Titans this week is that Tino has signed a 10-year deal with the club.
Tino who, sorry?
Fassa Malawi.
Oh, very good. He's been practicing that.
Not bad, weren't bad.
He's signed a 10-year deal with the Titans worth $12 million.
Right.
So he's getting $1.2 million a season off them.
Whatever. He ain't seen it. He's Brody Croft it, hasn't he?
And they reckon it's got a ratchet clause in it.
Oh, have they? I didn't read that bit.
What's that?
So, like, if the salary cap increases, his wage goes up.
Okay.
Yeah, and they got David Fifita as well, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Sorry, David Fifita signed for another 3 years as well. I think his was $1 million a season. The next game is the Broncos 54, the Eels 10. No comments on that one? No. I thought you'd be dying to get it in there.
Go on.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought this was going to be your how much start would Bobby have to give Herbie running backwards thing.
Oh, we put that on Twitter, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
He ran over the line backwards.
So, he fell over the line and ran the last 10 yards backwards.
Yeah.
So, Callum, how much start over 100 metres would Herbie Farm would have to give Bobby running backwards?
He's running backwards for 100 metres.
Yeah, Bobby isn't. Herbie Farm with his.
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think he could be pretty quick backwards, though.
20.
I'm going 30.
I was going to say that, but it feels a bit too much.
No, I don't think it does. I think it makes
Who's getting the start?
You're getting the start.
Backwards?
Yeah, you can run forwards.
Yeah, but he's running backwards.
Yeah, I think he'd be quick.
Nah.
I used to run like that to the shot when I was little because it was, like, more exciting.
Good for you.
Yeah, more exciting.
A different view.
It was an odd child.
Yeah. Odd man.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your how much start. There you go.
Okay.
The Tigers 22, Warriors 30.
They're doing well.
Yeah, they are.
Who, the Tigers?
No, the Warriors.
Oh.
The Roosters 30, the Dolphins 14. The Jim Morrison derby's up next, and as we already know, it was the Storm 48, the Raiders 2. And the final game of this week was the Knights 42, Gus's Bulldogs 6.
Yeah, take that, Gus.
And if you haven't seen it today, Tevita Pengai Jr., is retiring at the end of the season.
Yeah, I did see that.
He is 27, 28, and he wants to take up a boxing career.
Right.
So he's quitting rugby league to do boxing.
Right. That says something, though, doesn't it? When you'd rather stand there and get pummeled in the head for like 45 minutes than play for the Bulldogs.
He don't seem arse to me. He's quitting to do that. There was a couple of years ago he was playing for the Panthers, but give his grand final spot up for some young lad, because he said, I've been through enough in my life. He just doesn't want to play rugby league.
He doesn't, does he? No, he doesn't, does he? He'll be on one of them celebrity big brothers in Australia before long, won't he?
Yeah, he'll be on that SAS thing.
Yeah, he'll be on that, yeah.
And the fixtures this week to look out for are the Cowboys and the Sharks, and I've highlighted the way they're playing at the minute, the Knights and the Bunnies.
Isn't there, I don't know whether it is this week, I did see a picture of New Zealand Warriors in their, I think it was their 2003 kit or something like that, because it's Daniel Anderson round. Or for them, I don't know if that's this week or whether they just put the kit out.
Right, I'm not sure.
It looked like the old Kiwi kit with the white V. I'm not sure if it's this round, but if it is, then
I think it might be. Because
keep an eye out for it, yeah.
Yeah, I've also seen, I think, James Graham is auctioning off his 2006 memorabilia.
Okay.
To go to Daniel Anderson.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Real.
Leeds Forward Podcast Prediction League with Six Again.
Yes, the Prediction League is back. And as always, we are joined by Brian from Six Again. Brian, how are we this week?
New gentlemen, all good. How are you?
New Bright, very good. You've had an exciting week, haven't you, Bright? Because you've had like some sort of like, well, you've been at the time you've been at Wembley. It must have been like a 6 day camel ride for you down there. The time you've been there.
Yeah, I think it was 5 days.
You've been there longer than Eric Beaumont.
I know. You know what? I funny story. We nearly got run over by the league coach and the trophy on Sunday morning. As they left their hotel, we were off out into London, and Freddie's crossing the road, and literally he must have been about what, 3 yards away from the front of their bus, and they had trophy in the windscreen with John Asiata holding it.
Well,
he nearly knocked another, and he had a Saint hat on and a Saint stop, so he nearly knocked someone else over in a Saint stop.
Well, you know, I don't want to cast doubt on your story, Bri, but you know, to say that John Asiata had hold of the trophy, I think that's where it falls down.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mentioned Stenick and said, "Well, I'm surprised he let go of it." To be quite fair,
exactly. So, right. Well, onto the prediction league. Who's playing this week, Bri?
Right. So this week we have yourselves for Castleford. We have Alison for Catherine. We have Dean for Huddersfield. We have Cowbell for Hull FC. We have Karen. For Hull KR, we have Joseph. For Leeds, we have Jordan. For Lee, we have the Raiders. Salford, we have Louise, who just had to say happy birthday to us, her birthday last week.
Happy birthday, Louise.
For St. Helens, we have Steve. For Wakefield, we have Ben. For Waddington, we have Noxie. For Wigan, we have Gary. And for the Insiders, we have current Batley player, James Meadows.
Excellent. So, welcome for James. Right.
Do you want a little update on the league?
Yeah, I don't think much has changed, has it?
No, nothing. Well, no, not really. But Castleford at top, Wakefield are now second, Leeds in third, Callum Yord in fourth, Bobby Yord in seventh, in the middle of a cluster, about eighth. The Insiders are in 11th, Wade in 14th at the bottom of that cluster, and Andy, you are still in 16th. With an 8-point gap this week.
There you go. Few. Yeah. Right. Where are we off, Bri? First game
on Friday. 7:45 kickoff is Huddersfield v Salford.
Tough one, this.
Very.
Tough one, this. Both teams are... Well, I know Salford got a lot of players back, didn't they, the week before against St. Helens.
They were playing numbers 1 to 15 in the squad list.
Yeah. Huddersfield had won 4 in a row and made a good effort with a man down on Sunday. I'm going to edge it to Huddersfield, though, by 8.
I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to edge it to Salford by 10.
And I'm going to go Huddersfield by 10.
Bobby, you're not going to enjoy this, but I've also gone Huddersfield by 10. And we are one of 2, 4, 6 who've gone Huddersfield by 10.
predictable, isn't
he? Have any of them in my cluster?
One, two, yeah, all of them.
No, you can't. No, you can't. No.
Both Huddersfield and Salford have each gone for each team, for their own team, by 4. And we do have a Salford by 2. And that's from our St. Helens fan. Okay. Next up, also on Friday, St. Helens v Hull KR at 8 o'clock.
I said it before, didn't I? I said... That Hull KR will still probably make the playoffs, but like I said, I think they'll still have this couple of week emotional hangover from Wembley. So I can see Saints pipping this one, but I think Hull KR will still put up a good fight. I'm going to go Saints by 8.
Saints 14.
I'm going to go Saints 10.
Bobby, it's happened again. I've gone Saints by 8. We've got 3 who've gone St. Helens by 16, and everyone's gone for St. Helens.
Okay.
Next up, it's the big one. Also on Friday at 8 o'clock on Sky, Wakefield v Castleford.
You didn't want that one, did you?
No, I didn't want that one, no. No. I get the feeling that most people in the league are going to go Wakefield.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the other week when I said that the last game's normally the one which brings out all the fun of it, this is the game which has brought out all the fun.
Wakefield 12. I think they'll... I think they got more about them.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't enough. Actually, I don't know they have any more because they had a good run, but the last couple of games have not been great.
I think they've looked stronger at home. I think that's their key to survival this year. It's the home games. I think they've looked worse away than they have at home.
It's not far for Castleford though, is it?
No, I get that. I know what but you mean. I think it's just that atmosphere around you. I think it's that enclosed encounter at Wakefield.
Okay. Well, I'll go Wakefield 12 and it should be a really good game.
I'm going to go Wakefield 6.
Or a terrible game.
Good job it's not your turn to go, isn't it? Otherwise you'd have been...
Well, it is. I'm going Wakefield 6.
Right, Wakefield 8. Otherwise you'd have had to
change. I've gone Wakefield by 7. We've got 3. We've gone Wakefield by 2. They are Warrington, St. Helens and Hull KR. We have a Wakefield by 1. And that's on our Huddersfield fan. And good old Jordan's back this week, isn't he? Draw. Has golden point written all over it, he said.
Could be.
It's not a bad one this year, to be fair.
I reckon Eddie's going mad. Eddie's carried that Leeds team, hasn't he?
And we've only got 2. We've gone for Castleford.
Okay.
Also on Friday night, it's Wigan v Hull FC.
Wigan seem to be playing really well at the minute, don't they? I know they've had a pretty easy week last week, didn't they? Or the week before, even against Hull KR's academy team. I'm going to say Wigan by 16.
No, I'll go Wigan 20 and the end of possibly the end of Hull's playoff hopes.
Mm.
Possibly.
I'm going to go Wigan 14.
And I've gone Wigan by 18. Everyone's gone for Wigan. We have 3 who've gone Wigan by 10. There were Huddersfield, Hull and Warrington. Next up, on Saturday, it's on Sky at 3 o'clock. It's the Challenge Cup winners, Lee v Catalan.
An odd time for a Sky game, isn't it?
Yeah. Similar to what I said about Hull KR and having that a couple of week hangover of Wembley emotionally, you can see the same thing, but in reverse for Lee. They'll be out partying, as Callum's already said earlier in the pod. Some of them probably won't get out of the pub until they're ready for kickoff, will they? So, no. I think anyone playing Lee this week probably would have wanted that. I think the fact that Catalans are top and playing even better is just a little bit sweeter for them. So, I'm going to go Catalan by 20.
Oh, Catalan 18. I think it was quite tight for a while, and I think the last 20 minutes they might run out of steam a bit.
I'm going to go Catalan 24.
And I've gone Catalan by 10. Everyone's gone Catalan, but we have everything from Catalan by 2, which is by Huddersfield, to Catalan by 38 from Wigan. And lastly, on Sunday at 3 o'clock, it's Leeds v Warrington.
This is a tough one, isn't it? You've got one that's really inconsistent and one that's become awful. So I'll go with the inconsistency, I think. So I'll go Leeds by 12.
I'm going to go Warrington by 14.
I'm going to go Leeds by 10.
And I've gone Leeds by 4. We do have a Leeds by 2, which is from Louise. And we have a Leeds by 7, which is from our Hull FC fan, Karen.
How many have gone Warrington out of that one? Out of interest there, Bri.
1, 2, 3, 4, including Callum.
Mm, not many.
And not Warrington, obviously, because it's Noxy. He's gone Leeds by 16.
Oh, well, there we go then.
Excellent.
Well, I think that just about wraps us up for this week, doesn't it? It's been a good one this week, so thank you for staying and listening to us. Thanks to Bri for doing the Predictions League, and thanks to everybody participating in it. If you are going to any games this week, then stay safe and enjoy. But from all of us here at the Loose Forward Podcast for this week, it's goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.